Not all small businesses are alike when it comes to the impending tax overhaul. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Now, yesterday we talked to the National Federation of Independent Business. The CEO there had numbers for the month of November showing small business optimism running at very close to an historic high. She said this optimism is driven in large part by the tax overhaul going through Congress now, but not all small businesses are so enamored with the tax plans. Here's the CEO of another group called the Small Business Majority, John Arensmeyer. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, David.
So the NFIB, for its part, was very excited about the tax overhaul. The CEO told me it was either very good or great, unquote. That is not how your members see it.
The benefits of this legislation are really skewed to large pass-through entities such as large hedge funds, investment banks, not to Main Street small businesses. In fact, the Senate bill, 77% of the benefits going to 2.6% of large pass-through entities. In addition, this legislation makes the law for small businesses even more complex. And finally, it's blowing a $1.5 trillion hole in the deficit at a time of relatively low unemployment.
Well, help explain this, because Congress does seem set to lower the tax rate on something that I thought was of great interest to small business owners across the board. The pass-through rates are falling. You're saying they fall more for certain businesses.
Correct. Most small businesses make about $75,000 a year. Compare it to a business making $500,000. The business making $500,000 under the Senate bill is going to save 21 times what the smaller business is going to save.
Are you making an equity argument that it's not fair, or you're worried about what the corporate tax rate cuts might do to the country?
We've done polling that shows that small businesses, they're fine to get a tax cut, but they don't want to see it adversely impact the deficit, adversely impact the government's ability to fund programs, many of which are beneficial to small businesses. Right now in the president's budget, there are actually loan programs that are cut for small businesses.
Now, I don't mean to be facile, but the NFIB has about 350,000 members. You have quite a few, but fewer, right?
We have 55,000 members, but our information actually comes from generalized polling that we do of all small businesses. So when we look at an issue, we don't just poll our membership. We actually poll all small businesses out there. And in fact, our polling is always plurality Republican based on declared political affiliation. So this is across the board view from businesses of all different political stripes.
So interesting. John Arensmeyer, CEO of the Small Business Majority. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
Our conversation from yesterday with the NFIB head, Juanita Duggan, is also available at marketplace.org. There's a tab labeled Mentioned on Air. Yes, gasoline prices shot up more than 7% last month. Yet there's also news today that once you strip out volatile food and fuel prices, core inflation was hardly up at all last month, up a tenth percent for November, 2.2% in a year. Susan Schmidt, senior portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas, joins us. More ammunition for the Fed decision due in about 4 hours from now, Susan?
Inflation isn't an argument for a rate hike today. It's running at healthy levels, but a little bit on the low side. In some ways, that's a good sign. We're not seeing pressure on the economy from inflation. But I think regardless, the Fed's raised each of the last three Decembers, and market expectations are that they're going to raise again today with, you know, above 90% probability.
Well, let's just stipulate that does happen in a couple of hours here. Interest rates go up. But what about next year? I mean, at least one interest rate increase?
Actually, more than one, David. It's going to be two or three is the question of the day. And clues around the market and indications of what Janet Yellen, who will be speaking today, her last meeting as Fed chair, and then Jay Powell as the incoming Fed chair, what they will do in the coming year. That's going to be what preoccupies the market today.
All right. We'll also see how the tax overhaul plays into this. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings. Thank you.
Thank you.
One guide to U.S. interest rates is dropping on that lack of inflation news. The yield on the government's 10-year note is down below 2.39%. As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Back to the financial story of the year beyond healthcare, the tax overhaul. Today is the first, maybe only, public meeting as the House and Senate work to fit together the non-interlocking parts. Some lawmakers are offering assurances that even if they make mistakes in the rush to get this done before Christmas, there's a chance for technical corrections early next year. But it's not as simple as that, as Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
The last big tax plan in 1986 took 2 years. This overhaul, about 2 months. Alan Viard with the American Enterprise Institute says the bill has clear flaws.
Some provisions appear to lend themselves to the opportunity of being abused by taxpayers. It has not been possible to review these provisions simply because the process has been so rushed.
He'd prefer lawmakers take their time with the current bill instead of promising fixes after the law's passed. Rebecca Kaiser at Fordham University Law School says a bill for corrections can't address the larger, more structural changes this bill makes to the tax code.
For instance, to have a lower pass-through rate, that's creating a lot of gaming opportunities that's not easily closed by a technical corrections bill.
And such a bill could take longer than Republicans expect. Assuming the new tax law does go into effect January 1st, taxpayers and preparers may have to wrestle with it as is. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
The new season of the Marketplace podcast called The Uncertain Hour interrogates the idea of government regulation, how it saves us, how it goes wrong. We found evidence that a line or two of text that used to come with OxyContin may have helped turn opioids into this epidemic. Learn more on the air today or hear the story unfold by grabbing our podcast series called The Uncertain Hour. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.